What is the name of the local Pawnee basketball star who endorses Leslie in her campaign? Answer at the end of the episode.
I would like to go on record, speaking as a citizen of Pawnee.
I'm Kurt Hapley, and I just realized I'm not holding my microphone.
And I will call my new Italian fast casual eatery the Local Calzone Zone.
You can trust me, because I don't care enough about you to lie.
Everything I do is the attitude of an award winner, because I've won an award.
I made my money the old-fashioned way. I got run over by Alexis!
Hello and welcome to Citizens of Pawnee, a Parks and Recreation podcast where I discuss anything and everything from character breakdowns to episode rewatches, as well as some other trivia and tidbits about the show. My name is Brian, and I'll be your host. This is episode number 109, being recorded Monday, March 4th, 2024, and today I'm going to be talking about Season 4, Episode 7, The Treaty. If you'd like to contact the show, you can email citizensofpawnee@gmail.com. You can also follow and message the show on Instagram at Citizens of Pawnee Podcast, as well as my other page at Parks Rec Memes. And just a reminder that this podcast will have full spoilers for the entire series. So let me start off. You'll be getting this a day late, but I gotta say happy Casimir Pulaski Day to any of you out there who celebrate this holiday. But that's today, Monday, March 4th, and that's why I'm off of work today, because my school celebrates Pulaski Day as a holiday. So hell yeah. So I've gotten this day off for the past, almost 15 years, as long as I've worked at this school. I'm going to tell you right now, though, if you're expecting to hear about Casimir Pulaski, or if you want me to tell you who that is, can't do it, because I'm still not exactly sure. I know a little bit about who he is, but I'm not going to speculate, and I'm not going to go into my description, which would be like two sentences, and they'd probably both be wrong. So if you're interested, go check that out. Anyway, so something kind of funny happened like an hour ago. I've had this this grandfather clock that I've been trying to sell. My wife and I, we've been trying to sell it. This clock came with our house when we bought the house, because I think I've mentioned it before. We pretty much, the woman who lived here before, she passed away. She died from cancer, and when we bought the house, it was kind of like, well, the house is still furnished, so if you want the house, you're going to have to take all the furniture with it. So, you know, there was some good stuff, like some good furniture, and there's some stuff we sold, some stuff we gave away, some stuff we just trashed. But there have been a couple things that we're like, no, those are too nice to get rid of or just give away. One of them being this grandfather clock that is, man, it was about 6.5 feet tall. So, I mean, like, you know, just a traditional, like, grandfather clock, a very nice one. Howard Miller, I believe, is the company name, which is a very sought-after company. But anyway, so, you know, I, as you all know from listening to the show, I sell stuff on eBay. I have this grandfather clock listed on eBay, but, I mean, there's really not, like, on eBay, trying to do local pickup, things like that, it's tougher because eBay is such a huge market for just like ordering things internationally and just, you know, like basically just not ordering huge things like this. So anyway, but one of the options you can put on eBay is local pickup, which is what you can do on other like Facebook Market, OfferUp, things like that. So I also have this clock. I have had this clock listed on OfferUp, because OfferUp and Facebook Market are actually more in line for that kind of thing, like local pickup, because you can, you know, they have better tools for just like you typing in, okay, this is where I live, I want to travel within this far to get it. And, it, you know, so it's catered more for now on OfferUp. You can also, you can deliver things too, or you can have things delivered just like eBay. But I think that OfferUp is a much better platform for meeting in person and for selling things like this. So I wanted so much more for this clock, admittedly. Like when we first moved in, the guy who did the inspection on the house just also happened to be like a clock guy. And he was telling us like, hey, you know, like this is a really nice clock. If you guys don't want it, you know, like, I, you know, I'd be willing to take it off your hands. And it was kind of like, well, we're not going to give it to you, dude. But you know, so he told us that it was really nice and everything. So we did look into it. We did a little research and it's like, all right, yeah, this is like, it's worth like a few hundred bucks, maybe even more than that. Maybe like, you know, like higher than, you know, into $500 and $600. However, you have to find someone to pay that and who wants this clock that's going to come to the house and come pick it up. And because these things are very fragile, there's glass everywhere. There's the pendulum that's inside that swings back and forth. I mean, that thing can hit the glass if you're not paying attention, you know, if you're not moving it carefully. And then there's also the weights that are inside. Like, I could not believe how heavy those weights are. If you ever look at a grandfather clock, the three, or I don't know, mine had three, but they're just like the brass things that are hanging there. Each one of these things weighs about 30 pounds. No joke. Like I couldn't believe when I was taking them off. It's like just that the chain was strong enough. Anyway, I'm sure you're very happy you tuned in to this podcast to hear about grandfather clocks. But anyway, so I've been looking just in different ways to try to get rid of this thing. We've had it since we moved into this house almost, or just over 3 years ago. It's been about 3 years and like 2 months. So the other day I was talking with Joni, and I remember there was a guy who actually offered me like $70 for it. This was like a month ago. He just said 70 bucks. That's all he said. And I just wrote back, you know, I'm sorry. No, like I don't want to go that low with it. So, and it was just funny that I literally happened to be talking about that because we were cleaning out the garage because we got a new table. And it's like, okay, so now we're going to have to switch out a table, but we don't want to get rid of the one we're switching it with. So we're going to have to put that in the garage and yada, yada, yada. So like I said, I brought this up because it's like, man, I wish I would have taken that guy up on his offer and, you know, made like him taking the clock or whatever, because even for 70 bucks, I didn't pay anything for this clock. I would like more money. However, clearly no one is interested in it. And wouldn't you know, yesterday, I get a message from the guy again that just says $70. So good for him, though, for seeing that it's still sitting after I told him no. And then him just being like, how about now? And guess what? I immediately said, yep. So he said I can come by tomorrow to pick it up, tomorrow being today, which is Monday. And so he messaged me in the morning. He's like, hey, can I have your address? I'm going to come at this time. I said, sure. I don't have anything to move the clock, though. So if you have any dollies or furniture pads or anything like that, that'd be great. So like I honestly don't. I don't have any of that stuff. I've just been pretty much walking it, meaning like lifting one corner, swiveling it, and just kind of walking it out like that. So the guy's like, I'll be there at 9:30. Like, all right. That's embarrassing. Sorry. Scam Likely. Just got a call from Scam Likely, which is actually one of my favorite numbers to call me because I don't have to answer it. Anyway, back to the story. So 9:30, I'm out there. I'm waiting for the guy. And I shit you not, I see a Tesla come zipping up the street, you know, like just making zero sound except for that hissing like electric car sound. And the guys, you know, and I'm like, no way, no fucking way. Slows down, sure enough, hits reverse, backs into the driveway. And I'm like, okay, this is interesting. So I'm looking down the street. Like, I'm waiting for a moving truck to be behind this guy. And I'm like, are you kidding me? He gets out, pops the trunk, and it's just like, goes up. And I just see, yeah, a bunch of blankets. Like, the whole back is like moved out, everything. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, this grandfather clock is going into a Tesla. And sure enough, the guy just comes up. This guy was very no-nonsense. His name was Alex. That's all I know from OfferUp. I think I want to say Greek based on his accent, because he was very just like no-nonsense. And also just like, I'm like, wow. Like when he opened it up, I was like, I can't believe we're going to put this clock in the car, you know? And he's like, oh yes, I'm a collector. I don't know. Basically like kind of telling me like, son, get the fuck out of the way. I'll take care of this. And this dude wasn't like a big dude at all. The guy was, I mean, he was older. He was probably like, I'd say like, you know, like I'm like older, but let me temper that a little bit and just say he was older than me, probably like late 50s, you know, maybe early 60s. But now I'm like, Well, I could help you with this guy, because I was thinking it was like a younger guy that was like maybe had like someone to help or whatever. But it was like, no, it's just this dude with his Tesla. So like we just spun the thing around. He took off the little the pendulum thing. The weights were already off. We spin it around, drop it down, push it into his car. And he's just like, thank you. Gives me the money. Dude's like there and gone in like less than 4 minutes. Like, I couldn't believe it. And it was just so awesome because like this clock is now gone. The dude, like, he didn't ask any questions, didn't even look at it, just like kind of like handed me the $70. And he's like, this guy was not fucking having any conversation either. He just wanted his clock and wanted to get the hell out of there. So yeah, it was awesome. I mean, like, so I made a little money there. I mean, obviously, like, the all profit, since I didn't pay anything for the clock. So it was pretty dope. But yeah, I just thought that was a pretty funny story. So I'll do some quick filler, because I haven't done that in a couple weeks.
Everything he's saying is nonsense, and he's fooling them.
All right. So quickly, let's talk about True Detective. True Detective is, it's a, I guess, a crime drama kind of that deals with supernatural elements. I'm going to say elements because it's never quite proven in any of these that the supernatural actually exists, even though there's a lot of weird shit that happens. But True Detective, I got into this because it was kind of in the vein of Fargo. Not so much like the supernatural stuff, but just like a crime drama that I knew changed its cast and its story every season. So True Detective just ended season 4. That was called Night Country. And that was the first one that was it was a different showrunner than the other three. So I've heard wonderful things about True Detective. And I tried watching season 1, like a little after it came out, probably, I don't know, years back when it was like still kind of like fresh and everyone was watching it. So I wanted to get into this because I didn't want it to be like another Game of Thrones situation where I'm like so far behind that it's like now I have to rush through this and I can't enjoy it as much because I'm watching it too fast. So I started watching True Detective season 1, and admittedly I wasn't a huge fan. It was Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, and everyone's just like, these fucking two guys together are incredible. And they're both amazing actors, but I couldn't get into it for some reason. I just wasn't having it. And it was one of those things where I'm like, you know what? I stopped after like 2 episodes, maybe 2.5, something like that. And it was like, I know this is a good show and I'm going to come back to it someday. So however many years later, about a month ago, I started watching season 1 of True Detective, and I ripped through that one very, very quickly. And it was incredible. There were a lot of things about the show, admittedly, that I did not like. I find, and this goes for all the True Detective seasons, shitbag characters that, like, you really have to teeter on whether or not you even like them or whether or not you're rooting for them. Because you've got Woody Harrelson's character, who is more, I don't know, I mean, he's like the family man, but he's cheating on his wife. And, you know, it's just so everyone's got to have that thing where it's just like, well, he's a good cop. But and then you got Matthew McConaughey, who's like an incredible detective, but he's like crazy. And he's like he still has like some PTSD because he was in the military, but he has like hallucinations and shit like that. But the acting is so fucking incredible with these two. And it's a pretty, like, the whole, I won't get into it, but, like, the whole synopsis of season 1, like, what you're dealing with here is very, like, it's a very icky situation. So, I started watching season 2, got about, it kind of like, I guess it's kind of like how it was when I originally watched season 1. I started watching season 2, I literally got 1.5 episodes in, and apparently, I just can't fucking stand Vince Vaughn anymore, because he's like the main, him and Colin Farrell. Colin Farrell, he got like so popular like for a little bit, and then he was in like that Daredevil movie with Ben Affleck. He was Bullseye, and I mean, like, he was okay in that, I guess, but then it's like, this guy, I don't know. Colin Farrell's okay. But anyway, so he was gone for a while, he's kind of back now, and he's a good actor, I guess, but I don't really care for him that much. So anyway, then I jumped to season 3. Or did I watch... You know what? No, then I jumped to season four. I'm sorry, this is so confusing. Season four is the most recent one. That one was called Night Country. Not a big fan. This is when I say, like, Supernatural. They really tried to make this, like, a horror, like, themed story, I guess. And while some of it was pretty good, in the end, they just, like, kind of screw you over by telling you it's like, well, this is what actually happened. But they do it in a way where it's like, or, you know, maybe we just tell the story like this. And then it's, yeah, so what you thought actually happened is just like, oh, okay. I mean, like, I kind of like what happened, but I don't like that that's the substitute for what I... Yeah, so it's kind of hard to explain. And it's funny because... So I go on YouTube a lot and I watch breakdown videos of like trailers, seasons, things like this, just because I love finding Easter eggs. And, you know, like that's why I love doing it for this show for Parks and Rec. I love finding Easter eggs in the background, pointing them out, you know, seeing things that maybe other people haven't seen. But so one of the channels I love is Screen Crush. And there's a guy on there. His name's Ryan Airy, and he does breakdowns of these videos. And he was doing the breakdown for season four, and it's just like, even I'm kind of like, what is he talking about? Like, it's just getting so in-depth about all this stuff, and then I read the comments, and the first comment's like, dude, this season isn't anything, like, all this shit you're talking about and all this stuff you're trying to get us to think, it's pretty straightforward what happened here, dude. So I was really happy that I saw that, and it's like, yeah, like, so it wasn't just me. Like, I've talked to a couple of people too, like, you know, like Elf from Melmac. I've been bugging the hell out of him. I did it with Fargo, and now I'm doing it with True Detective because I know he watched all these. So Elf, thank you for taking this journey back with me and having to re-remember and actually going back in and looking on your phone and checking out like what I'm talking about for reference and everything, because I need someone to talk to about these things. My brother, Rob, actually, he watched True Detective as well, but I don't think he saw the newest one. Yeah, he didn't see season four. So anyway, after season four, I went and watched season three. And that one reminded me a lot more of season one, actually, both in its story and then also just kind of like the dynamic of the two cops. This one was Mahershala Ali, who's supposed to be playing Blade sometime in the MCU. I don't know, but he's getting up there in age. So I hopefully it's like in the next decade. And then Stephen Dorff, the smoking man himself. They were great. I liked both of them in this. However, same problem. It's just like, well, Mahershala Ali, his character was more in line with Matthew McConaughey's from season one, where it's just like work, 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 fucking nothing else matters except work, 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 work. I'm going to destroy any relationships I have, any family type things don't matter because work, the case, the case, the case. And so, yeah, it's like, it's hard to like them. And then also there's the thing, the dynamic with the partners where it's always like, they're just like driving. They'll just be sitting there. And then one of them's just like, you know, you're a fucking piece of shit. And then it's just like, what the fuck? Like it happens in like, yeah, at least in seasons one, three, and four. I didn't get far enough in season two, and I'll probably watch it just because like, so I can finish it off. But I'm hearing a lot of people say, it's just like, well, we don't know what that'll happen with that season, because even season three was nowhere near as good as season one, but it was still better than season four. So I'm just doing all of this to confuse everyone right now. But anyway, if you have not watched True Detective season one, watch that one. And I don't know, you don't need to watch season four, I don't think. It's completely different. And again, these are all different. Season three was pretty good. Season two, I don't know. If you hate Vince Vaughn, don't watch it. All right. Then I just wanted to talk about one more hilarious fucking movie I saw. You know what? I said that because like I was trying to really hammer home how like bad this movie is, and that's Madame Web. But I have to retract that statement because this movie was not hilarious to me. This movie was like a big fat nothing to me. And I'm going to say right off the bat, Madame Web is a terrible movie. It is awful. Like, okay, so you guys know I'm a big fan of the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This movie is Marvel, but this movie is not part of the MCU. I have to like clear this up for MCU, because even my sister Heather, who is a very big MCU fan, when I told her I saw Madam Web, she's like, oh man, I can't believe like how bad all the Marvel movies are getting. And it's like, okay, yes, like this is a Marvel movie, but it's like, I have to be like, wait, you know that this isn't part of the MCU, right? And she had no idea. She's like, no, I thought it was Spider-Man. And it's like, it is Spider-Man, but Spider-Man is actually owned by Sony. However, you would never know that because all of the movies that Tom Holland Spider-Man appear in are MCU movies. They are by Marvel Studios, and they are like rented out by Sony. Sony does not have the balls to make their own Spider-Man movie because they know it's going to suck. And now they made the old ones with like Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. But I'm saying like now that the MCU is around, it's like Sony was very smart. They bought these characters from Marvel way back in the day before Marvel had their cinematic universe, before Marvel was its own studio. They bought Spider-Man and every character that comes with him, all of his villains, all of the, like the friends, you know, the Neds and the Mary Janes and everything like that, and the Madam Webbs, if you will. So this movie has nothing to do with Tony Stark, Captain America, you know, like at least all that stuff, all the fun Disney stuff. This is a piece of shit movie that does not star Tom Holland. It doesn't have anything to do with, actually, that's not true, because and here's your Parks and Rec tie-in. Adam Scott plays Uncle Ben. Yeah, the Uncle Ben that dies in like every other iteration of these Spider-Man movies. He doesn't die in this movie, though. And I'm not saying this just because I love Adam Scott, but he is no joke the only good thing that comes out of this movie. He is the only person in this movie that acts like he is, I don't know, that like he wants to be in it. It's just, it's such a bad movie. The dialogue is terrible. The acting sucks. There's the villain. He's this dude, like, I don't know what the guy's name is. I've never heard of him before this, but like, I've looked him up and apparently he's like a good, charming actor that everyone likes. But they did like some voiceovers for him. So like, like, I'm going to try to do his voice. He's like, I'm going to try to kill these girls. I think that they're trying to kill me in my sleep, but I'm going to try to see what they look like in my dreams. And maybe I'm paying you a lot of money to help me find these girls. So if you don't help me find these girls, I'll kill you. Like, so it was just so bad. And I mean, like, you look at, you just Google it. I mean, it's like people are asking, it's like, what the hell happened here? Like, the villain, there are times when you see his lips moving and different dialogue is coming from it, and then like so much of his dialogue comes like when with you seeing the back of his head. So it's just like, it's so dumb. But I'm not going to get into the plot or anything. I this isn't even a movie I can say it's like, well, if you want to see a really bad movie, because I would give this movie maybe like, even if I was like, this movie sucks, but I had something like fun to talk about besides the villain's terrible accent, which, and it's like, it almost reminded me of like Moira Rose from Schitt's Creek, not the accent, but just the, for us, we're like, where the hell is this person from? I don't understand. Where's this accent? So that's what I thought was funny about it, because I kept thinking of her, and it's just like, yes, like her. I can't figure out what the hell the like the country of origin is or whatever. I don't know. But yeah, no, I don't think you need to see Madam Web. It's a fucking bad movie. It has nothing to do with the MCU. And let's talk about Parks and Rec. Season 4, Episode 7, The Treaty, directed by Jorma Taccone. I don't know if that's how you say his name, J-O-R-M-A, if it's Jorma or Jorma. However, I do know that he is part of the Lonely Island, and that is the, I guess, rap group? I would say rap slash R&B group that is with Andy Samberg and Kiva Schaefer, the three of those guys. They created the movie Hot Rod, which is like one of my favorite comedies ever. Also, Jorma Taccone, director I just spoke of, he stars in Parks and Rec in season 7. He plays the character Roscoe Santangelo, who's like the CEO of Grizzle. Yeah, that's him. Anyway, this episode is written by Harris Whittles. All right, so for our cold open, we start off in the Parks Department where Leslie shows off her collection of all 193 national flags, like mini ones. She's got them like all over her office. She's been asked to host this year's Model UN at Pawnee Central High School. This year, Leslie will represent Denmark and Ben will represent Peru. We find out Ben did Model UN in high school, so he's very excited. All right, I've got a little Easter egg here, I guess. So there was a show, and I don't know if I've ever talked. I've probably mentioned this part before, but like I know it's been a long time. But anyway, there used to be a show on Fox that was called Ghosted that starred Adam Scott and Craig Robinson, who was Daryl from The Office. All right, so the two of them, they were partners, and they worked for this like really secretive, like kind of paranormal investigating thing. I don't know. It only lasted one season. I think it got like 14 episodes, something like that. It had its moments, and I watched it because I loved those two characters. However, it wasn't a very good show, and it was rightfully canceled. However, there was one episode where, and I don't remember what Adam Scott's character's name was on that show. However, his parents like came to visit or something, and they talked about when he was in high school, when he was in Model UN, and when he represented Peru. So I thought that was really awesome. That was just like a nice callback to Ben Wyatt. So yeah, I thought that was pretty awesome. Anyway, all right, Leslie needs more volunteers though.
I need a few more volunteers. Andy, will you be Iceland?
The bad guys from Mighty Ducks 2? Don't think so.
Okay, how about Japan?
The bad guys from Karate Kid 2? Even worse. How about Germany? They've never been the bad guys.
Why don't you be Finland?
Okay.
And of course, April will control South Africa and the moon per her request, which is like, it's like a dumb kind of back and forth. But April's like, I want to run the moon. And like, you know what? I don't really understand why the hell Leslie asked April and Andy in the first place. Maybe she was just really that desperate. April seems like she'd be smart, but just careless. Andy's just a moron, as we'll see moving forward. But anyway, she also asks Ron if he wants to volunteer, and he says that he'd rather sand down his toenails, which is actually something he does every 3 weeks. So I don't really understand that, because he's like, you think I'd rather do that? I'd rather sand down my own toenails, which is actually something I do every 3 weeks. So it's like, well, you do that anyway. So I don't know. All right. So now we're at Pawnee Central High School, where Leslie already has a fan, a girl who is unnamed at this point and just goes by France. So it's kind of weird, actually, that they use her. This is, and we do see this a couple times in this series where a character, maybe, actually, I'm trying to think in Parks and Rec if they do it. I know they recast a couple characters, like, for instance, Freddy Spaghetti. We see a picture of him, and then, like, in the next episode, that's the guy who plays him is not the same guy from the picture we just saw. So in this situation here, this actress, her name is Kelly Washington. And at this point, you don't know that you will see her again. However, it's kind of weird because we're going to see her in season 6 in the prom episode. She's a high school student named Allison Glifford. And in that episode, she's like kind of an up and coming Leslie Knope. She's like, well, basically, I mean, like, we'll get to that episode, so I guess I don't really have to get into it. The weird thing here, though, is that she is And you know, like watching the episode, I guess I can come back to it now. At the end of this episode, we find out that her name is Cassidy. She tells Leslie, because Leslie keeps calling her France, and she's like, my name's Cassidy, okay? However, in season 6, that prom episode, her character's name is Allison Glifford, like I said. And even if you go on IMDb and look at this episode, season 4, episode 7, it says that her name is Allison Glifford. However, she says in the episode that her name is Cassidy. So I don't know. I don't know if someone went in. I don't know how that works on IMDb, but that's not her name in this episode. So it was kind of weird. Anyway, she's very excited to have Leslie there because Leslie's apparently like a Model UN legend. All right. So we cut over to Ron's office. We see that Tom, despite the embarrassing debacle known as Entertainment 720, is still in good spirits. Ron tells him that he still needs to fill Tom's spot, though, unless, of course, Tom wants it back. So this kind of makes you wonder, like, in this episode, I understand Ron because Ron tells us that he wants Tom back for this position. One, just it's that's the easiest way to do it. Just have the same guy back. You don't have to retrain him or anything. Also, the way Tom is, he's, you know, he doesn't give a shit about anything. So of course Ron loves this. So he loves having him there, but it really makes you wonder though. It's just like, wait, yeah, it's been 6 episodes since Tom has been with Entertainment 720. Why haven't they filled this spot? Now I understand also, and I know I keep like correcting my, or pointing out my own questions here, answering my own questions, but Ron doesn't care about a lot of that stuff, which is why, like, when Chris first started, when Chris and Ben came to the Parks Department, I believe Chris asked Ron, why do you only operate with this many people? You're supposed to have this many. So, yes, we do know that Ron is, especially like in this situation when Tom left, maybe Ron knew that Tom was going to come back eventually. However, Tom is too prideful. So he tells him that, you know, Ron, he's just like, no, man, I'm good. I don't need this job. You know, like I just left Entertainment 720. I'm not coming back to this. Ron tells us, though, in a talking head that he saw Tom spraying himself with free cologne samples at Macy's. The only thing I take from this is that Ron was for some reason shopping at Macy's, and I would love to know why he was there and who he was shopping for, because he pretty much tells us the only place he ever shops is food and stuff. So I thought that was kind of weird that they used Macy's. However, this is not the first time. No, actually, I'm sorry. I was going to say there was the Macy's name drop when April rode the riding lawnmower through the store. However, I think that might have been a Nordstrom, so I might be wrong. Anyway, all right, let's see where we're at. Now we are with Chris and Anne, where Chris asks for advice because he's worried that Millie Gurgich, who again is Jerry's daughter, also Chris's girlfriend, hasn't returned 2 of his phone calls. So I got a note here just because I've been talking about it. Chris's hair is a bit longer here. However, it is finally like clean, I guess, like it's at least combed and it looks kind of nice. So yeah, but this is more kind of like what I talked about. Like Chris is just being like kind of like gross and like slime baggish here because he's talking to Anne, who's his ex-girlfriend, who he really hurt when he broke up with her. And it's just like, hey, I want to talk to you about my new girlfriend and like the sex we're having and stuff like that. So yeah, I just, again, doing this rewatch, I'm starting to think like, man, I don't really like Chris a lot of the time. I know he has some great moments, so I'm not going to say I don't like him. Tom, you all know I do not like Tom. It doesn't matter. Anything good he does is non-redeemable. Irredeemable? One of the two. I don't know. All right, where are we at? We cut back over to the Model UN, the event. I don't know. What is it called? Where you're just like, oh, I'm going to the Model UN thing, the show, the... Or is it just called Model UN? Do you just stop there? I don't know. Anyway, the Model UN has started. Leslie tells us in a talking head that her and Ben's romantic relationship is completely over due to the campaign. So, like, you can tell, though, that she's putting on a front. Like, she's obviously very upset about this, but she's like, hey, you know what? It's okay. People are friends. A lot of people can still be friends, and that's better than having a boyfriend. A boyfriend just loves you and marries you. So, you know, you feel bad for her. We go back over to the Parks office. Chris asks Jerry if he can pick his brain about Millie. So, like, actually, I didn't say it before. When he talked to Anne the first time, Anne was just like, oh, I guess you better launch a full-scale investigation. So that is exactly what Chris is doing. And, of course, like, he comes up to Jerry, and Jerry's just like, hey, Chris, like, I really don't want to be involved. And he basically tells him, he's like, fuck you, Jerry, you're going to listen. And he just like kind of, obviously doesn't say F you, but like he just cuts Jerry off and just like goes right into it. I know this is more in line with just how everyone treats Jerry, but I don't know. Maybe I have a new vendetta against Chris. I don't know. We'll see. But at least in this episode, yeah, it's just another one where Chris is kind of a scumbag. So Donna just happens to overhear, and she tells Chris that he's too accessible, and that's probably why Millie is like needs a break from Chris, because it's like no matter what she does, he's always going to text right away. He's always going to answer the phone. Like there's never any waiting around with Chris. And then she has like a great line where Donna's just like, you need to dangle the carrot, both figuratively and metaphorically. And then at the same time, it's really funny, like, Chris, who's very excited, he's like, thanks, Donna. And Jerry, who's like depressed because he's like telling you know, this woman's telling the guy who's dating his daughter, you got to dangle the carrot. He's just like, thanks, Donna. So you hear like an excited, thanks, Donna, and then thanks, Donna, at the same time. It was really funny. All right, so now we're back with Ron, where he's holding interviews for Tom's job. All right, so this whole like B or C story, whatever you want to call it, because the A story is obviously the Model UN thing, and then there's also the one with Chris, Jerry, and all them. I'd call that the C story, because that one's not as funny, so we'll call this the B story. It's hilarious. Just like the whole, every time they go back to Ron and Tom, it's great, mostly because of Ron, because... he's, like I said, he's interviewing people, and it's a bunch of like losers that are interviewing, but the way Ron is talking to them, which is obviously he's trying to get under Tom's skin, which is working because these people are morons and Ron's just like encouraging them. It's just, it's hilarious. So first up, there is a very old man named Courtney who hasn't worked since 1968. And it's awesome because Ron's like, so, Courtney, you retired in 1968. He's like, I didn't retire in 1968. That's when I was fired. So he has not worked since because he made like an ethnic comment, a comment towards like an ethnic woman. So he got fired. And he just said he's done a little bit of jail time since then. And, you know, that's about it. So Ron calls him a strong candidate. Tom's not having it, though, and says that he's going to help Ron look. So, of course, you know, like, yeah, Tom is just, he's hanging out for no reason. He has nothing better to do, but it's still like, no, I can't take the job. I'm too good for this job. But it's still like, well, I got to be there to make sure that, you know, so he's basically just like kind of stalling until he gets his job back, which we'll see at the end of the episode. Spoiler. Back over to Model UN. We see that Leslie and Ben are killing it, and they're kind of back to like their weird flirting. And this is kind of, this is a callback, actually. I got to point this out because they just talked about how it's like, all right, we're friends, we can't do this stuff anymore. But that's kind of where they were back in season three. And in the episode, the Harvest Festival episode, we see what we see here, which is like the playful, like, yeah, them like doing handshakes, like kind of like back and forth high fives. And then it turns into them doing the pew pew, like the finger guns. If you remember in that one, they kept like, they'd be joking around and then it would be like, yeah, and Ben's like, bazooka. And then Tom was just like, ew, get a room, you two. So I love that. It's like, now that their relationship is over, this is how they're starting to flirt again, is like with these like finger guns. Like, so it's like they have that weird thing, you know? Yeah, I like it. Okay, so this one is amazing, though, because like the physical comedy here, like with Ben and Leslie, they're doing this like elaborate handshake and everything. And then Ben gets distracted and looks away and like puts his hand down, and Leslie just slaps him across the face. Like, it's not a hard slap, but it's still like the way it's done was just so, it's so funny because it happens so quick. And then Ben's just kind of like, ow, like you could tell it hurt a little bit, but it's like, you know, it wasn't a hard one. So just then, William, Leslie's campaign manager, shows up because Leslie needs to do a photo op for the campaign, which is kind of irritating Ben. And you can tell that, like, his irritation is a little bit motivated by bitterness, I think, you know, because it's like, well, Leslie broke up with me, or she basically said this campaign is more important than us being together. So now he's, you know, he's starting to resent maybe the campaign because he knows this is important. It's like, yeah, and because Leslie says they're here to do a photo op, you know, with the Model UN, because it's like to boost up like the education aspect of her campaign, you know, to show that like she's in solidarity. So, but Ben's like, well, you know, like we kind of have this thing going on. And so I think he's a little bit like kind of pissed off there, but then maybe even a little bit jealous because like this guy, William, who's her campaign manager, it's not like she's ever expressed that, but it's another man coming in, taking Leslie away from him. So I wonder if he's kind of like, oh, what the fuck, man? So I don't know. That's just how I kind of always saw it. Elsewhere, Andy makes a deal with Kenya where he's going to send his entire military in exchange for 50 lions. So I talked about it before, but this again really makes you wonder why Leslie invited him to this thing. Like, I mean, yes, he's a body. He can fill a country. And it's like, I don't know. It just, whatever. I'm not going to ding Andy, though, for that, because he's got some great lines coming up in this episode. So All right, but then he tells us that he is actually, by the next time they talk to him, he has traded all of Finland's resources for lions. Lots and lots of lions. So he's just like, well, I'm going to have more lions than any other country, and you don't have to pay lions, so whatever. After a while, Ben tells Leslie that the kids are waiting on their proposal. So this is like she's still doing the photo op, and he comes over, and he's like, hey, like, they're waiting on us. We've got to get going with this. But Leslie's just like, well, we're going to need probably like another 15 minutes or so, which pisses him off even more, since now that she's like neglecting this whole Model UN thing and just putting like the campaign first, which, again, not totally her fault, because she's actually, she tells Ben, oh, it's going to be like another 10 minutes or so. And then it's William who's like, ah, let's make it like 20 or whatever. And then Ben will stand up to William. He's just like, oh, how about a cool 40? And it's just like, you know, William's just kind of like, fuck off, kid. Like, I'm not talking to you. It's awesome. All right. So later, Leslie finally rejoins Model UN and asks if everyone's ready to sign the treaty. However, Ben says he got tired of waiting and instead signed a treaty with Russia and China instead, kicking Leslie's country, Denmark, out of the treaty. She calls Ben off to the side to talk. He tells her that it's too hard to be friends with her and that it's just not going to work. So she kind of like pulls him off like, dude, come on. All right. I get your point. Like, what? But he's pissed. He is. He's just like, you know what? I thought we could be friends. I thought this could be fun. But he's, you know, so this is kind of like an outside matter that has nothing to do with this Model UN thing. But again, Ben's just kind of like pissed off. So he's just kind of lashing out at her. But yeah, actually we do see something rare happen here because, and this might even be like the only time it happens in the series, at least that I can think of, when someone is doing a talking head and they actually stop in the middle of the talking head, telling the camera person, excuse me for a second. And then the camera like keeps rolling on that person I think you've seen some where the person, like they end the talk with the talking head person or whatever. But this is one where Leslie actually says, excuse me for a second, and walks away, and the camera just stays on her. So she goes up, she takes the podium, and she declares war on Peru. All right, back over to Chris's office, where he now has Jerry, Donna, and Anne all there to break down he and Millie's relationship. Anne calls it highly inappropriate, but says she's game, which is great because she's like, this is so inappropriate. And you actually, like, I didn't see that coming, her like being on board, because you think she's going to bring up like, hey, we dated and you're an awful person and da da da. However, I like that she's like, this is highly inappropriate. And Jerry's like, thank you. And then she's like, I'm in. So he's just like, oh God. Back over to Ron's interviews. We meet a man named Gary, who is from Gary, Indiana. And that just happens to be one of his stronger anecdotes, he tells us. An annoyed Tom says, a fact is not an anecdote. So just the delivery with this, with when Ron's talking to him, because it just cuts right in and he's just like, wait a minute. So you're telling me that your name's Gary? And he's like, yeah. And I'm from Gary, Indiana. It's one of my stronger anecdotes. So good. He loves it. And then when Tom tells him the whole thing about like, it's a story, is not an anecdote. Here's an anecdote for you. Gary from Indiana came in and told me the worst story ever. And the guy's just like, like kind of thinking about whether or not that's an anecdote. But then we meet a guy named Keith, played by comedian Kyle Mooney. And this is how that goes.
Now, Keith, under sex, you wrote, yes, ha 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 ha. Well played.
Thank you. But all jokes aside, I'm a boy. Keith, I had this job for 4 years, and I can tell you, you get out of it what you put into it. What are you hoping to get out of it?
In like a month or so.
What?
Oh, what? What am I hoping to get out of this job?
Yeah.
Yeah, like one month of money would be just right.
Let me give you a situation. You're hosting a town hall meeting for local businesses.
Oh, that's so much stuff. You just went, kept on going.
That was like one thing, and I didn't even get to the situation yet.
Oh. All right. Well, thanks, guys. I think we've all seen enough.
It's, again, just great acting, because this guy, like, you got to watch the scene, like, so you can see his body language, like, how he's talking to Ron, you know, just like, like, 1 month worth of pay. Like, it's great. Back over to Model UN, Leslie is now trying to get other countries to help invade Peru, but no one is interested as this event's topic is solving the food shortage. So that's like what they were originally here to solve for this Model UN, like at least this event, again, I guess, the topic for this one. Not going to war, which is what Ben and Leslie are just like, they're completely taking over this whole thing. Ben and Leslie start to argue a little bit more, and then it finally gets a little out of hand.
You might want to borrow this.
Ew, no one wants your dirty underwear, Ben.
It's not dirty underwear. It's a white flag, and you may as well start waving it right now,
Leslie.
The only
thing I will be waving is your decapitated head on a stick in front of your weeping mother.
Good Lord.
This has always been one of my favorite scenes, like just in the entire series. Like one of my favorite parts about it is the quick cut to Andy's face, because right after Leslie says that last thing, it shows Andy and he is making a face like, "Oh, dude, you just went way too far with that one." So it's just, yeah, it was amazing. Also, like the entire place just completely goes quiet. It's amazing. Like when she yells that, and it cuts over and it shows like all the crowd. They all turn their heads at the same time to look what's going on. It's just, it's such a great scene. It was filmed very well. All right, so back over to Ron and Tom. Ron asks Tom yet again for him to come back, but Tom says he's like a shark. He doesn't swim backwards. I got to throw out a little Easter egg here. In season 2, the episode when Tom is, when the whole crew is helping Tom move, they get sidetracked for a second because Andy's like, "Hey, can we watch Deep Blue Sea?" Which is one of Tom's DVDs. Deep Blue Sea features sharks that swim backwards. Yeah, they're genetically enhanced, but still. I just thought that was kind of funny that he happened to mention not swimming backwards, and it's like the one movie where sharks, maybe not the one, but at least the one I can think of, is a movie that Tom tells us he owns. Thought that was awesome. Okay, back to Model UN. Ben interrupts and grabs the mic to ask that Denmark basically be condemned, and everyone agrees. Ben does a mic drop and leaves as Leslie spouts nonsense, and this scene just gets like bonkers. It's like, yeah, Leslie and Ben are just like, they're being nonsensical and it's kind of crazy. Actually, Ben does win this part of it by getting everyone else to be like, yeah, screw it. Like, let's get them out of there. However, then a little time goes by and the girl Cassidy, which we'll find out her name later, she comes up to the mic and she says that the Security Council decided to expel Peru and Denmark from the United Nations. We see also that many of the delegates have left because Ben and Leslie ruined the event. So yeah, she's just like, come on, guys, like look around. Like this is because of you. And you can see that like, yeah, probably like 80% of the kids have left and there's just like a small group left. And then later on, when we see Leslie just kind of sad sitting by herself, April comes over, comforts her and tells her that she needs to talk to Ben and they need to straighten everything out. Back over to Chris's investigation, and finally gets to the bottom of the whole thing, and she tells Chris that the reason that he and Anne didn't work out was because she basically turned into a female version of him, which is what he kind of made her do, and then he realized he was dating himself and he got bored with her. And then we also get the amazing line, the one that I used to have in the intro for Citizen of Pawnee, when she's like, "You know what, Chris, I was actually doing jogging," and he's like, "Jogging is great," and she's like, "Jogging's the worst, Chris, God," she's like, "I know it's good for you, but at what cost?" I always love that one, because yeah, jogging and running sucks, as an adult, I guess. All right, back over to the school. I always love this Andy line, because it's just kind of like, it's almost like candid, where the camera's like a little further back and you see Ben sitting with Andy and Andy's just like, "You know, if you rearrange the letters of Peru, you can spell Europe." And, you know, Ben's just like, "That's not true." So it's kind of funny, actually. He's like, he's kind of right, because I mean, like, all of the letters in Peru are in the letters of Europe. However, you're missing like an E and an O? Yeah. So you have extra letters, but it was just kind of funny. But Andy and April have brought Leslie and Ben in here to make up. This is yet another hilarious Andy and Ben back and forth about Camp David, of all things.
"I know that you're angry with each other. Hopefully this will be your opportunity to have your very own Camp David. In high school, my buddy David Fundus would have these campouts in his backyard. We would just chill out, have a bonfire, talk about whatever was on our mind. We called it Camp David."
"How do you know about Camp David?"
"How do you know about Camp David?"
So if you're unfamiliar with Camp David, it is the retreat location for the President of the United States. It's in Maryland. I don't know exactly what goes down there, but I just know that it's hilarious that that's exactly what Ben is thinking of. However, you know, Andy, obviously, it's Camp David. It's like his buddy. That's so funny. Yeah, and then of course, like the surprise with that, just like the, how do you know about Camp David? How do you know about Camp David? So good. So Leslie and Ben, they talk and they just realize that it's going to be too hard to like just go on like this. But they do kind of also say it's like, well, we can't be enemies. So they do agree that they're going to like take at least a very small, maybe even if it's just a couple minutes, but they're going to hang out once a day and just like maybe share a laugh together. But that's about it. All right, so now we cut back over to Ron and Tom to a really weird scene where Ron has just apparently gotten so desperate that he needs Tom to take this job back that Ron actually followed Tom out to his car, like in the parking garage, and was like, come on, man, dude, you got to take this job. I know you're not working. He tells him about the, you know, he saw him spraying the cologne at Macy's and everything. So then Tom tells him, all right, I'll come back under one condition. And then they cut back over and Ron is now presenting Tom to the parks crew, like saying, hey, I needed this guy to come. He's basically groveling in front of everyone, trying to get Tom to come back. And then Tom's just like, you know what? Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, but I'm going to pass. Take care. And it's awesome too, because he starts off, he's like, wow, this is really embarrassing for you, Ron. But so everyone's just kind of like, what the hell was that? Ron's just like, I'll be right back. And he's fucking pissed off and he storms out of the office and like the camera follows him. And then you see Tom and he's like, he's hiding like around the corner. And he's like, Ron, that was some great acting. I figure I'll wait a couple days and then I'll come back. And he's like, ugh! As Ron pulls him away and basically throws him in there. And he's like, fucking tell him. And he's just like, hey everyone, I'm going to be coming back. And basically, so now Tom is just telling everyone he's pathetic and he's got to take his job back. It's so good. Love it. All right. So then we go back to Ben and Leslie, who feel bad about ruining the Model UN. So to make it up for the students, they let them into the Pawnee City Council chambers and tell them that in 3 months, there will be a statewide Model UN in that room and that all the students will be running it. All right. So then we get the tag of the episode, which is essentially what kind of just happened with Ron and Tom, except this is Leslie now introducing him, except she's got like words like an intro that he wrote out. It's like he makes all the lady, no, I can't say that. So she's just reading through it and then he comes back and you just get some complaining from Jerry because he gets screwed over and he's got to like move his desk again. And so yeah, Tom is back with the parks department. So all right, that's the episode on IMDb. This episode's sitting at a 7.9. I'm fine with that, I guess. Like, this episode had some good lines. Andy had some of the best ones with like the Peru line. And then, but the actually, like I said before that he had the best lines. Actually, I think it was Ben. Yeah. The one with Ben and Leslie, like when they, the whole head on a stick thing, that's incredible. And like Andy actually, yeah, he made the comment about like Germany, like in the beginning, which is just like, oh my God, like such a stupid comment. But still just funny because he brings up two movies I love, the Mighty Ducks 2 and also Karate Kid 2. So hell yeah. Leslie and Ben, they're more of the fighting, but I got to tell you, folks, here's a big spoiler. Next episode, they're going to get together forever. Yay. I can't wait. And then the Ann, Chris, Donna, Jerry thing, just kind of a waste of time. Like, I guess I just never realized it before, but I've just been saying that so much about Anne lately. Like, her, it's like, what is she doing? Like, she has basically, I don't know if she was busy at this time, maybe. Or if they just didn't have good storylines for her, but it's like, I feel like she's just been bumped down to, like, Jerry and Donna status where, I mean, she's still in it more, but I don't know. But anywho, that's going to wrap up this episode. If you'd like to contact the show, citizensofpawnee@gmail.com is how you can do that. You can also like and follow on Instagram at citizensofpawneepodcast and at parksrecmemes. Next week, I'll be covering season 4, episode 8, Smallest Park. Woohoo! Thank you for listening to Citizens of Pawnee, a Parks and Recreation podcast. My name's Brian, and I'll see you next Tuesday. The local Pawnee basketball star who endorses Leslie is Pistol Pete DeCilio.